website under our business sponsors. Just go to WTRJTheTruth.com.
You're listening to The Truth, 91.7.
Let's Face the Issues is a daily broadcast ministry of First Conservative Baptist Church with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood. Dr. Youngblood is also the founder, president of Conservative Theological University. Let's Face the Issues broadcast deals with real issues facing our culture today from a biblical perspective. God created three institutions, the home, government, and the church. Therefore, any issue that is harmful or has a negative impact on either of these institutions will be carefully dealt with and confronted from a biblical worldview. Too often, good people are afraid to confront serious issues that are attacking the church, the home, and Christians. We must stand against the enemies of the family and the church. Tune in each day for another broadcast of Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood. Here is Dr. Youngblood with Let's Face the Issues.
Thank you, ladies and gentlemen. It's always our delight to have you jump on board, join in the dialogue and discussion as we have them each and every day right here on Let's Face the Issues. Today, the issue is this: government versus God. Government versus God. That is, government in opposition to God. Or government or God, which do you choose? We're going to be talking about the races for governor, mayor, attorney general, etc., etc., in New Jersey, Virginia, and in New York in particular, with a socialist, Marxist, communist, anti-God, anti-America candidate that looks like will most likely be the choice of the electorate in New York today. We'll be talking about those things, but listen, the major focus that we're going to have today is, who do we depend on, government or God? We have today some 42,700,000 some odd thousand people that are on SNAP benefits and EBT card benefits, welfare benefits. 2010, it was 17,172,000, and today it's almost triple that. Why? What is taking place? Are we seeing today a major push for socialism? And now all of a sudden, when we see a socialist, Marxist, communist candidate running, all of a sudden there's the move that says, we don't need socialism, communism. He's a bad guy. We all not to vote for him. But yet, ladies and gentlemen, for years, American citizens have voted for candidates that promise free stuff. You understand what I'm saying? We have witnessed incrementalism on socialism, Marxism, communism. By the way, socialism and Marxism are simply communism light. And we've been witnessing that creeping, crawling incrementally for the past 50 to 60 years in America. And we'll be talking about that today. So what do we look at? Who do we look for? Who do we look to supply our needs and to protect our homes and our families and our nation? Do we look to government or do we look to God? Ladies and gentlemen, as we face the issues, let me remind you that we do so based on the written, revealed, inspired, infallible, inerrant word of God. I call it the truth book. And you've heard me say many times before on this broadcast that anytime we see things taking place, whatever it is, on a local, state, national, international, or global basis, we need to look at it through the prism of the Word of God. What does God's Word tell us? You see, God's Word points out in the progressive revelation of God to man, it points out how God is the same yesterday, today, and tomorrow. We see through the Word of God what God has done, is doing, and shall do. Therefore, the call for me from this mic today is that as Christians, conservatives, and patriots, that we recognize that God's still on the throne, that He's still in charge. That's the summary, thumbnail sketch of where we're going today. But let me remind you, as we look at the events, we look at them through what the Word of God says, the truth book. John 8:31-32, Jesus, speaking to His disciples, said this: if you continue in My word, then you're My disciples indeed, and you shall know the truth. The truth shall make you free. In John 14:6, Jesus says, I am truth. further in John 17:17, the scripture says, "Thy word is truth." And then in Psalms 117, verse 2, the Bible says, "The truth of the Lord endures forever." So I want us to understand that there's some dark days present that's prevailing and shall be in the future. And we need to get our focus right. Our focus needs to be on God and the Word of God and what God is saying and what God is doing. Yes, we need to understand what's happening in the world. Yes, we need to be involved in the political process. Yes, we need to continue to impact lives for eternity with the gospel of Jesus Christ. Yes, the church, the pastors, and the Christians ought to be alert and alive, and we need to stand as salt and light in the society in which we're living in. But ladies and gentlemen, we can't get caught up in the helplessness and the hopelessness and the mentality that there's nothing that we can do. George Orwell, the secularist of yesteryear, said the further a society drifts from the truth, the more it will hate those who speak it. And we see, if you please, today, the Socialist Marxist Communist Democratic Party cannot tell the truth. Now, I'm not saying that they're the only bad scenario in the political arena. We find that on both sides of the aisle, as it is called. By the way, I don't like that term, both sides of the aisle. Or the mindset says, I've just got to reach across the aisle. I said recently to someone, I don't have long enough arms to reach across the aisle. That is absolute compromise. We need to take a stand for what is right, what is godly, what is biblical, and what is constitutional in our political arena today. I believe if we go back to that standard, we'd see a vast difference in what we call American civil government today. We need to look at the scripture and honor God with what God's word says is the norm for a society. Truth is what we need to stand on. And listen, truth is the book of God, God's word, where Jesus said, I am truth. Thy word is truth. That is the scripture. And I don't know of any way that I could state it any better than a former U.S. Senator, Jim DeMint, makes this statement. The truth is the core principle of the Judeo-Christian values, which are the foundation of Western civilization. Judeo-Christian values are derived from the Bible, and the Christian church is the only custodian of the Bible. If you want to know the reason for the death of truth in America, look no further than the decline of Bible-based Christianity. Ladies and gentlemen, I couldn't have said that better myself. We need to recognize and understand there's a need for us to get back to the Word of God, the truth book. It is the only source that we have for hope and help and for anything that we'll call ethics and morals and values today. I'm looking at a headline that says, Western society will be destroyed without the commitment to truth. It goes on to say, American institutions are suffering from a collapse in the public support. Among the institutions worst affected are government, the press, and education. And we find that to be the three essence today of what you'd call a misrepresentation of truth. And it's through those entities that we find society today being inundated with that which is a half-truth, which a half-truth is a whole lie. I go back to the 15th century theologian and church reformer, Jan Hus. Jan Hus says, faithful Christians seek the truth, listen to the truth, learn the truth, love the truth, tell the truth, live the truth, and defend the truth even to death. That's my challenge each and every day on this broadcast. And I pray that you hear and hear well, and that it, as a result of listening to Let's Face the Issues, that it's educational, it is inspirational, it is beneficial, a blessing, and a challenge in each listener as you tune in each and every day. Ladies and gentlemen, this portion of today's broadcast is sponsored by Tools for Time. Tools for Time is an outdoor power equipment dealership company specializing in the turnkey business packages for individuals looking to own your own landscape or lawn care business. Tools for Time carries the full line of equipment for the homeowner with brands like Honda and Echo. Tools for Time carries the full line of hurricane preparedness equipment. And ladies and gentlemen, Tools for Time has the full line of Honda generators with a knowledgeable staff that can answer all of your questions about power backup equipment. The knowledgeable staff at Tools for Time can answer your questions about the professional as well as the homeowner brand landscape and lawn care equipment. Tools for Time is located at 11291, that's 11291 Old St. Augustine Road. Perhaps you say, how do I find that? Where is it located? On the campus of Tulsa for a time, there's a 165-foot flagpole. Atop that flagpole flows the U.S. flag, All Glory. So, ladies and gentlemen, find that flag in the flagpole, the base of the flagpole, you'll find the home of Tools for a Time. ToolsForATime.com. ToolsForATime.com. Ladies and gentlemen, today, listen carefully, today could change the course of history in America. Now, perhaps you say, what's going to happen today? In case you've not been informed, in case you've not been listening, in case you've been hiding under the bed or in the closet, today, among other states and other races, there's a political race for the mayor of New York City. Now listen, New York is the, if you please, the epicenter of the globe from the standpoint of business, finances, and wealth, and the focus of those around the world. Look at the New York Stock Exchange, etc., etc., etc. It is the focus. I believe I've been told between 8 and 10 million people in the city of New York. And the election is today, ladies and gentlemen. The candidate that wins today. By the way, there's elections taking place in New Jersey for the governor. Election taking place today for the governor and for the attorney general in the state of Virginia. And several other elections across the nation. But the primary one that I'm concerned about, that we'll focus on, and the essence of what I'm saying today, is the candidate that's running for office in New York. Ladies and gentlemen, how the ballot will be cast today this vote in New York City, I believe will make a totally different outcome for the United States of America, a totally different view of America on our founding fathers. There are those today that, and it's not just recent, there are those that have been saying for years and years and years that America is not a Christian nation, that our founding fathers were not Christians. They're all simply lost people or deists at the very best. And ladies and gentlemen, contrary to the recent modification of history, our founders were not just deists. They were not just God-fearers. They were not just individuals that had a far expectancy of who God is and what he can do. Our Declaration of Independence mentions God four times in particular. Our Constitution refers to a higher power referring to God and evidence of our founding's belief in God. Ladies and gentlemen, let me just run down that very briefly. In our Constitution, our Bill of Rights, as to what we see, our Declaration of Independence, that is. Let me just read you, for example, our founders believed in the God of the creation God and not just Allah. In fact, the mention of God in the Constitution, a compelling evidence, I believe, for our founders to believe in God. The laws of nature and the nature's God, he says in our Constitution Declaration, endowed by our Creator, appealing to the supreme judge of the world. And for the support of this declaration, we have a firm reliance on the protection of divine providence. Our Constitution closes with, done in the convention by the unanimous consent of the states present, the 17th day of September in the year of our Lord, 1785. Ladies and gentlemen, God's not a threat to our freedom. It's government. God's not a threat to the United States of America. The government is. This, I'm looking at an article that says, most importantly, we must address falsehoods about mentioning God in the Declaration and the Constitution, the founding American documents. The name God seems to rattle a lot of people as though it is a threat. This writer says, my guess is that these citizens have been trained to think that secularism is best, so they propagate lies about our founding American documents. And ladies and gentlemen, when we look at the truth, we see the Declaration of Independence. It talks about the laws of nature and nature's God. In the second paragraph, it reads, Creator, Supreme Judge of the world, Divine Providence, mentioned in the article we call the Declaration of Independence. Ladies and gentlemen, these mentions reflect the Founding Fathers' belief in God as a central part and principle of our rights that we have in America today. But ladies and gentlemen, one of the things that we find is so frightening today is that we have those for the past 50 to 60 years that somehow, some way think that you can just leave God out of American political instance and the civil government, not recognizing and not remembering and not caring that according to my Bible, God created civil government as his slave servants to be obedient to God first. And ladies and gentlemen, if we could simply do a clock turn back and go back to the era when the civil government, those that we elect and put in office, recognized that they were there to serve God and serve God's people in America, which is a totally different America today. But ladies and gentlemen, now celebrating our 250th anniversary, it appears that Americans have forgotten how our God has blessed America. Citizens appear to seek out and embrace and elect socialists, Marxists, communists for our cities and our states and leaders. Today, people are frightened, fearful, anxious about tomorrow. The candidates in New York, ladies and gentlemen, the one that seems to have the lead and in the primary, with I think there were five candidates in the primary, Mondami came out with 46.2%. And 46.2%, as you've heard me say before, made up of primarily single, white, college-educated females. Now, they look at him as some of the younger crowd did with Jack Kennedy in his time in the early 60s, with the mindset that he is charismatic, he's communicative, he looks good, etc., etc. So therefore, he's going to usher in utopian society in New York. That's the mindset of those that are raving about his candidacy. Ladies and gentlemen, we need to be concerned and listen very carefully. Go back and study the rise and the fall of the Roman Empire. Do you know why Rome fell? Because of a push for more and more pleasure, less and less work, and more given by the government to the people. Now, I've summarized it in a nutshell. There's a whole lot of other things that play into that. But that's the very reason. And we're witnessing today the 250th anniversary fast approaching for the United States of America. And we're witnessing what I would call, for lack of a better term, an implosion of our constitutional republic. And some say, well, how can you summarize that based on a Marxist candidate in New York City? Ladies and gentlemen, we've already seen much of Michigan taken over by Islamic jihadists. We've watched Dearborn, Michigan, which is owned, bought, owned, and controlled by Islamic jihadists. We've witnessed in other states across America where the Islamic jihadists are coming into play, rising up and demanding that which is not theirs. They didn't get it and earn, but they're pushing for it as a socialist Marxist background. I'm looking at a headline, ladies and gentlemen, a six-page article. I'm going to read the headline in about two brief paragraphs, then we'll open our telephone lines and start taking our calls. In Europe, foreigners are raping white women in droves, and the left yawns. The article reads in part, "It is widely known that foreign-born rapists and criminals avoid accountability in all of Europe because political leaders are consumed with fear of being labeled racist. For decades, Marxist socialist indoctrination has ingrained into the Europeans that one should always excuse and feel sorry for non-Western immigrants since they come from non-functional, often highly corrupt states in poor parts of the world. The Marxist left has thereby implemented a multiple discrimination against native Europeans that demand accountability for indigenous European ethnicities in ways one would never dream of demanding from a dark-skinned non-Western immigrant. In the authoritarian UK, for example, this discrimination against indigenous Brits are demonstrated as British individuals are now thrown into prison for social media comments that are negative toward mass immigration of the Islamics from non-Western countries. While foreign-born rapists are killers and are almost excused in any court. This Marxist socialist discrimination is the opposite of the historical Western ideal of equality, regardless of race, creed, or social standing. It has produced the racism against the white Europeans that today permeates European mainstream media and public discourse. One final paragraph. In Scandinavia, in Norway, one of the few reports that published the ethnicities of criminals showed that 100% of the assaults and rapes were committed by non-Western immigrants, immigrants from Asia, Africa, South and Central America, and Turkey. Have much higher crime rates than the general population, with the worst being born in Africa. In Sweden, a recent study showed 96% of such assaults committed by the immigrants. In both cases, almost exclusively native white women were raped. In Denmark, non-Western immigrants are more than seven times more likely to be convicted of rape than those native Danes, end quote. And ladies and gentlemen, the article goes on and on and on. The bottom line is, we're witnessing today America at the threshold, at the entry point of seeing a dynamic tipping point for the Constitutional Republic that God has so blessed America with our founding documents that honored God, recognized God, and was promulgated in their writings, that God is the one that's on the throne that we need to look to. Ladies and gentlemen, I'm concerned when I see what's happening in New York City. And today is reckoning day. Today we'll make the determination of the trajectory of where America goes. Some might say, well, you know, just because New York goes Islamic, because New York goes into the realm of the communist, socialist, Marxist agenda as its ideal. Ladies and gentlemen, some say, well, that doesn't matter. It won't affect the rest of it. Yes, it will. It will affect all of the balance of America. As New York goes, politically speaking, so goes America. Because of its size, its importance, its financial hub. Why do you think the Islamic jihadists blew away the Twin Towers? Because that was the recognized status symbol for all of the world to look at as the American headquarters of finance and power. Ladies and gentlemen, the candidate that's running in New York, let me just summarize this, and we'll take our callers. Mamdani, that is dual citizenship. He's a citizen of Uganda. He's also a citizen of America. Came to America in 2013. Became nationalized as an American citizen, getting the green card in 2018. He has never written a paycheck to anybody. He's always been on the dole. He presently lives in a rent-controlled apartment in New York City. But he is about to cross the threshold into the power of controlling New York. He is anti-God. His God is not the Creator God. His God is Allah, the false moon god of the Bedouins of the 7th century that Allah selected, that Muhammad selected and chose to call the God of the Islamics of that era. It is not the true God. It is a false, phony God. He is anti-American. He holds his citizenship in Uganda and America with his absolute allegiance to his citizenship in Uganda. His mother made that statement, that he is not an American. His allegiance is to Uganda. Ladies and gentlemen, he is anti-capitalist. He is a total socialist. He promises free food, free transportation, free Medicare, free medicine for everyone. Whether they're citizens or not. Free housing, that is by rent control, he is doing so. He says he wants to make equal distribution of all production. That's a statement by Marxism and socialism and capitalism from way back. That you go out and you work for something and you share with all of the others that are sitting and doing nothing. Equally dividing up of all the properties. He says he believes that free ownership of property should not be, that you shouldn't be able to gobble up and gather up and buy up properties. It should be equally shared. Listen, although it appears that America is now teetering on the brink of becoming a socialist, Marxist, communist nation, we need to recognize that God's still in control. Ladies and gentlemen, what say you? Are you concerned about it? If you're a conservative Christian, a patriot, how does it affect you? What do you say? What's your appeal to the listeners today? What do you want others to know today about your feelings, your sensitivities, your concern, or your lackadaisical attitude about what's happening in the political arena? There are many pastors today that's mealy-mouthed and cower when it comes to talking about political issues. There are many today that are seated in the pews of our churches that say they're saved and might know John 3:16 in five languages, but do not know the Bible and do not understand what is happening globally in our world history. I believe Kenneth is on the line. Kenneth, go over the question or comment, please.
Dr. Youngblood.
Yes.
If New York goes, that's it. I don't know if God is judging us for what we have done, like Sodom and Gomorrah. But if he wins, especially if the Democrats win, if he wins, that's it. I think it's Michigan that the governor changed all the streets, some of the streets, to Islamic names, and people don't even know where they are now. I don't think so in Michigan. Like, hey, this used to be Michigan Avenue. Now it's something else. And it's written in their language. And I believe he's going to do the same thing to New York.
Absolutely. And if I could jump in, Kenneth, for just a moment, what we see taking place today is the in America is part and parcel back when Barack Hussein Obama was president, and he had ushered in those Islamic immigrants coming into America that in the wee hours of the night and early morning, under the guise of darkness, he brought in plane loads into Wisconsin, Delaware, some in Florida, some in Georgia, etc. He dispersed them across the nation, and those are the very Islamic jihadists today that are rising up and demanding power. We have a central headquarters, if you please, in Dearborn, Michigan. There's a major rising up in the state of Texas, 330 mosques with 450,000 Islamic jihadists that's now pushing to have total cities and total metropolitan areas that are dominated and controlled by the Islamics. Right here in Jacksonville, Florida, there's a push for an Islamic slaughterhouse right in a residential area that some of our city council members have committed that it will not pass. And I'm just praying that they will hold to their word and will not pass any legislation that would allow an Islamic slaughterhouse as they're now proposing. It is a push across America to Islamicize the United States of America. And as you said, if that's what happens in New York, I believe it's the harbinger of things to come across the United States of America, where city after city and state after state will fall to Islamic. And that Islamic is not just the bad part about Islamization and its dogma and following Allah and wanting to kill all Jews, kill all Christians, but that's the heartbeat of Mandami that will be elected mayor, in my opinion, today in New York City. He hates God. He is anti-Christ, anti-Christian, anti-Jewish, and as a result of that, linked with a socialist, communist, Marxist agenda and mindset. We can't expect anything other than God's absolute pouring out his judgment, his wrath on a nation that will turn our backs on God. And if a major city like New York goes socialist, communist, that is a harbinger of what I believe will take place across America. Kenneth, I'm thankful for your call. It deserves our prayer. We need to keep looking up and the recognition that God is still in control. He's not asleep. He's not asleep, but it's possible, as you touched on, that God may use this as part of his judgment to get America's attention, that we'll be forced to turn back to God. Kenneth, brother, thank you so much for your call, and God bless you as we keep looking up. Ladies and gentlemen, that telephone number is 904-831-0917. We're going to take the top of the hour news break. After the news break, ladies and gentlemen, we're going to be right back, and we're talking about that comment that I made at the early part of the broadcast, government versus God. Are we going to depend on God or depend on government? There's about 42 million people today that are drawing EBT card benefits and SNAP benefits that are depending on government. Is that good or bad? Ladies and gentlemen, hang in there. Don't turn your dials. We'll be right back right after the news.
This is Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood. from First Conservative Baptist Church and Conservative Theological University in Jacksonville, Florida. To learn more, visit conservative.edu.
WTRJ, Orange Park.